Tonight, I want to preach a message that you may have never heard anything quite like this. You may have, but you support missionaries, and you get missions. Your preacher gets it. And can I take this snake up over here? I want to be careful not break it. And I want to give you a thought tonight, just one thought. And I got a couple, three stories in it, and I've added your pastor and his wife in this outline. Amen. Because it needs to be. When he called me and asked me to be part of this, you know, Tom Wallace, man, he still got the keys to the ark. And Larry, Terry Angel and I are same age, and Larry Brown, man, that guy's old as dirt, and they got me in there with them. And I go way back. When we get time one night, I'll tell you, Terry Angel will verify it, the story about Larry Brown at the camp in Iowa, one of the funniest things you've ever heard in your life. But Larry and I are good friends. That's for another night. So tonight, what I want to do is start this thing off, is God has a plan for this church. And what I'm going to preach tonight is not some preacher's idea, not some doodle digger director of a mission board's idea, not some college president's idea. And most people don't know this is in Scripture, all right? Now, you know what faith promise is. You know what giving is, because I look at your board out there. I know about half of those missionaries. And Brother Ross and I have been friends for years. I mean, we don't call each other every week, but just that we were parted and hadn't seen each other for 10 years, just like we just ate a McDonald's yesterday together, we just get right into it. And I want to give this thought tonight, and that is this. We do well to understand as a church and how to give to missions. Now, I'm going to give you three ways, biblically, that's laid out for us to give to missions. All right? So I got you in, Matthew chapter 28. Where's that other place I got you? Acts 1. I'm going to ask you to do something just a little bit deeper. We're going to go with three. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, we're going to do this. I'm going to unwrap it for you. And I was teasing you, but we should be done, I hope, sometime tonight. I can hear Brother Ross. Brother Long, if you want an honorarium, you'd be done by 7:30. I can just hear him. You know, love you, brother. Click. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. We do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. They were poor, but they were good givers to God's ministry. For to their power, verse 3, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. See, God got a hold of their heart, got a hold of their mind. It had nothing to do with a wallet. It had all to do with God's will for their life. And I'll show that to you. Praying us with much entreaty, are you kidding me, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. I've never seen a missionary yet come get support from you guys and say, I won't take it. Are you kidding me? That's what they're here for. Amen. Let's just be blunt. Amen. Now, you got that? I'm in Indiana, right? I'm not down in the South. I can be more blunt here. I'm just being, you know, down there, you just can't say some things, don't hurt your feelings. Hey, I'm going to show you. We will use the word money tonight. It's not a bad word. Okay, let's continue. Look what it says here. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord. That's what it's about. And unto us by the will of God. Do you believe that? I sure do. I hope you do. Now you slide back to Matthew chapter 28. God's giving out the Great Commission. Christ is giving it out. And he looks at verse 19 there. He makes this statement. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, when I read this, I understand that the Holy Spirit unloads three things in the Great Commission. What's it say in verse 19? Go and teach all nations. And he wants us to win people to Christ. All God's people said. Amen. That's what missions is about. And number two is to encourage the newly saved to be baptized, get baptized by water, identify with the death and burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a picture of ownership to Christ. We Baptists, we believe that. Never forget this. This is our identification. If a person won't get baptized, yeah, you'll go into heaven. But I'm telling you, every person in my ministries in New Guinea, Australia, Trinidad and Tobago, North Carolina and Tennessee, in the last 10 years where I've preached a lot and baptized people, married people, buried people, anybody gets baptized in an independent Baptist church, it usually becomes a very faithful person. Now, I didn't come up with this. Jesus did. Now, catch this. So we get saved. He wants us to get baptized. And after that, he wants to teach them all things whatsoever I command you. And in the humble opinion of Dan DeLong, when he says teaches them all things, that means it necessitates the planting of a local church. And this church was planted how many years ago? 50, is that correct? I can read. And it's still growing. It's still going. It's still developing. And anywhere in this world, when you look at the Great Commission, is it's develop a local church. And God uses only one vehicle to start churches around the world. It's not missionaries. It's other local, New Testament, independent, Bible-believing churches. All God's people said?
Amen.
For real. That's what we are. Now watch closer. Now that's where we start. Now I want to add one thought. That's what you want us to do, God. Now, where do you want us to do it? Isn't that amazing? Now, we know what to do. Now, people that know how to do the job will always have a job. Those that know why they're doing the job will always be their bosses. And I want you to let that sink in. Christ is in charge of this. And I want you to see this thought with me. Now, I want to develop it here. So where would you have us to go? Thus, we start our journey through the New Testament, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now we'll be moving tonight, Acts chapter 1. Go to your Bibles, Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. There we go. We'll get into Romans and a couple other places tonight. I want to teach. I want to preach, but I want to teach a little bit tonight. And I want you to see this. Look what the Bible says. And there's a word that I'm going to use tonight. And I'm going to do this word here in just a moment. But look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the outermost part of the earth. Fair enough? As we say in Australia, fair dinkum, huh? What do you mean? Now, how many of you older folks ever watched Star Trek in here? Got one guy in the back with no hair, one lady. Okay. How many don't know what Star Trek is? Okay. Look at these kids. What's that? How many kids have ever seen a phone hanging on a wall? One of you. Okay. First time I saw Star Trek, the guy said, beam me up, Scotty. And the guy's standing here on Earth and he's beamed up to the moon, right? How's that work? My dad made us turn us off because it didn't make sense. When I read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, look what it says here again. I want you to circle the word both. The Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, both in all of Judea, both in Samaria and to both the uttermost part of the earth. How can we be in four places at once? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 does not say exclusively Jerusalem, but says both. And it all goes out to all the world. You know, now here comes the rub. How do we do that? I can't be in two places. And I hear your clear command, Lord, to teaching and to baptize, to preaching and give them the doctrine. And Lord, you must understand, I can't be in all these places at one time. I can't be in two places at one time. How in the world do you command us to do those things both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part? And here comes the question. How do we do that? God has a wonderful answer, doesn't he? How do we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in all the places God wants us to accomplish it in? It's wonderful that God gives us a question. It's even better. He gives us the answer. You ready? I've got the answer. I'm going to give you, anybody ever take Greek in here? Anybody at all? Any Greek? We got a Greekie. You had Greek in college?
It was horrible.
I know. I didn't have it. I got a Strong's Concordance. I got a Thayer's Concordance, just enough to be dangerous, all right? So I'm going to teach you a Greek word tonight, teach you what it means. Then I'm going to unwrap it in Scripture for you so you'll know why you give to missions. You understand what is going on and how God blesses this church. Amen? So say this word with me. Are you ready? Three parts. Pro.
Pro.
Pim.
Pim.
Po. Pro. Pim. Po. One more time. One more time. Pro. Pim. Po. Whoa. Big word. Let me tell you what it means. It means to move an object from here to supply and support it to get it over here. It's to facilitate, to conduct, to move along. So far, so good. I want you to catch this with me. So when we talk about this simple Greek word, I hope you're not impressed, because you can find this in Strong Concordance. You can find it in Thayer's Concordance and others. You can even Google it. But if you understand, you have to be able to speak Greek to do that. Several ways it's translated as to bring us along, to bring forth, to be accompanied, to be supported. Thayer says this, that it's just to outfit, literally, to fit out for a journey, like you're going camping. You'll buy a backpack, a sleeping bag, some blueberry Pop-Tarts, and a tent. And take your credit card so you can slide in the Holiday Inn when nobody's looking. Come back to the tent later on. So God says, I want to preach. I want to baptize. I want to teach. I want to start churches. I want to do it all over the world. I want to go all over the globe. And I'll do the calling. Now I need somebody to outfit my missionaries for the journey. I'll even do all the supplying. I'll do the calling. I'll do the outfitting. God uses this word in the book of Acts in three applications. We'll look at Acts and Romans and maybe another place in 1 Corinthians, okay? I won't be long, honestly. I will be done by 7. Is it 7 o'clock now? I hope 7:30 or before, okay? It'll go. I'd be done at 7:15, but you got to hear my stories, right? That's why the kids are up front. Man, I got to get one of these missionary stories. All right. So I believe the three applications is this. You ready? Say this with me. This is not a bad word. Say financially. Money. I taught the missions at Ambassador College. The kids are sitting there. They're all, but you know, they're just stiff as can be. Say the word. The missionaries, right? They got to go to churches like this to raise support. You're there for prayer support. Yeah. But you're there really for what? Just to be spiritual. No, money. Now you understand that, don't you? We'll make it sound a little more spiritual financially. Doesn't do a thing for me. My daughter says, just give me the credit card. Let's go. Secondly, you're going to find out tonight, not only financially, but also prayerfully. And lastly, emotionally. That's where your preacher comes into the message. Emotionally. So I want to unwrap this for you. And I want to start this journey with you. That there's no way these missionaries in that hallway, missionaries in this church, and me included, can do what we do without you. It starts with the local church. I didn't come up with this. Dr. John Halsey's in heaven now. He showed me 28 years ago at an IHOP up in Alaska. For hours he explained this to me, and I soaked it up. It was my first missions conference, and I've never forgot it. Look what it says in Acts chapter 15. Let's go there first. Let's slide to Acts 15. Let's take a look here, first of all, the financial aspect, all right? Oh, I love to hear those Bibles. In P&G, you hear Bibles moving. It's like songs to the ear. You come to most states, they don't even bring their Bible. They bring out a little phone, you know, and that's fine. But I like to hear the rustling of those pages, don't you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Are you there? Verse 15. Here we go. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now watch this. Paul's hair is on fire because of these religious zealots living under the Old Testament law. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation, man, they were upset. With them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other them should go to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. We're going to straighten them out. But everybody from their church could not go. But Paul and Barnabas could, and a couple others. verse 3. And being brought, the word brought means propemboed, and being propemboed on their way by the church. What does that mean? Well, they're going to represent the big church, the head church, the right church. They're going down to Jerusalem, and the church is going to pay for them to go. They're going to propemboed. They're going to buy them shoes probably, maybe a backpack, maybe a gift card if there was, you know, at the end there by wherever that, you know, something to eat, you know, and maybe to rent a boat or rent a mule, whatever, you know, and to buy food on their journey. Now, I'm telling you, I'm just unwrapping it for you. And I want you to catch this verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. That church down there believed God's word and knew it to be true. Hence, we go back to verse 3 and being brought. I want you to see this. They were propemboed along their way. These Judaizers was the problem. But what I want us to have a legitimate question here, and that is this. Who paid for Paul and Silas to come from here to represent Christ over here? That local church did. Now, I want you to catch this. They were deputized. Because we can't go. You folks can't go to the mission field. I can't be to two places at once. And since we're sending you, it's only right that we pay for your journey. So we're going to provide for you. And what does that mean? It meant that they were buying different things to get them along the way. And can I suggest to you tonight that winning the world to Christ is the responsibility of the church, not just the missionary. And this, you deputize these missionaries when you take them on for support. The local church is to do this because, not because everyone can drop what they're doing. How many of you folks in here work a job and you're not in the church staff here? You work another job. Can you raise your hand? You're why we're here, okay? I want you to understand that. This is how God works. God's plan is to call people to go. The church is to deputize those missionaries to go. And the church is supposed to take care of that. And it's, watch this, when it's all done and said, and all said and done, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this, and it's added to whose account? Your account. You'll find it in chapter 4, 13 through 17. Let me give you another incident here. Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. I like this one. I want to show you where Paul, you know, talking about finances here. And I want you to catch this. And I want you to understand, financially, most missionaries are very poor people. But God takes care of everything for them. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 15, look with me, please, in verse 22. Now, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you. But now having no more place in these parts, I got my ministry done, Paul's writing. And having a great desire these many years to come unto you, wheresoever I take my journey into Spain. I need to go to Spain to reach the Gentiles. We got any Jews in here tonight? I preached this up in Minnesota and there was a Jew in there. You're all Gentiles, Joe, so you're part of this journey here. Aren't you glad Paul did what God told him to do? Isn't that amazing? Verse 24, wheresoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be, brought on my way thitherward by you, propemboed. He ain't making tents here. Is he asking the churches to support him financially? You betcha. Exactly what he's doing. And that I somewhat filled with your company. Now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. I want you to understand here this second incident to be brought forth. What Paul is saying, he's almost finished with the ministry where he's at. He's got to get to Spain. He's going to come to them. And he says, when I come to you, I wrote a prayer letter. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come there and get support from you. You're going to propembo me forward. I didn't write that. I'm just a newspaper boy. How many people see that there? Amen? Amen. This is two incidents. I want you to catch this. And we at BIMI have no, we didn't come up with faith promise giving. Some, Charles Haddon Spurgeon didn't come up with it. Paul is already here in our scriptures. And Paul was gifted by the churches of Philippi and Corinth and Thessalonica who cared about his ministry and they supported him. He made tents when he had to, but my friend, he raised support financially. And I want you to understand it. If God calls a person to the mission field, he will take care of them. How many of you believe that? Amen. Just answer God's call to the mission field. All right. Now I want you to see this last thought, and I want you to catch it with me real quick. Is go with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 16. then I'll get off of this. 1 Corinthians 16. Has anybody learned anything yet tonight? We're just getting started. Now watch this. Verse 16. And look with me, please, at verse 5. This is great stuff. Now, now I come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me, propembo me, translated, on my journey, whithersoever I go. Are you kidding me? He's asking them for support. Is that right? We'll look at verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I got to go. Now, one of my preacher boys is coming behind me. We pick him up in verse 11. His name, Timothy. Look at verse 11. Timothy. Let no man, therefore, despise him, Timothy, but conduct him, propembo him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. I mean, Paul's raising support for Paul, and he's raising support for Timothy. 612 missionaries since 2012 with BIMI have come through us because Dan DeLong is the director of Canada Schools Pre-Field Missions. That's my ministry here on the States besides over there. They make contacts with me. I talk to them. I preach to them. I encourage them to give up everything they got and follow the Lord into the ministry. And my job is I'm a subcontractor. I'm a conduit. I'm a conductor. I conduct them along. We don't have nothing. We can't see. Just trust me. The first year missionaries look like deer standing in front of a headlight, about ready to get hit by a car. Huh? They don't know what to do. 12 months later, when they got sick, got that under their belt, and they see how God works, man, they're pretty cool, and they're pretty calmed down. But I want you to understand, if God calls you, He will take care of you. Ready for this? Financially. He will take care of you financially. In our society today, in our movement today, in Independent Baptist Church, everybody wants to make more money. You look at the colleges and some of the courses they teach, they got more courses on hairdressing than they do on missions. I'm just saying. We need to get back to them old ways. Amen? Amen. That's the good ways of what you tell me right there. Missionaries should be starting churches and winning people to Christ and starting churches and winning people to Christ and starting churches. You can dig those wells and do those medical clinics, raise hog dogs and frogs and start banks in foreign countries. You can do all that stuff later on. But when he called Paul in the Macedonian call, what was it about? To preach the gospel. Amen. And with that gospel, missionaries run into some things. And I was had my first kidney stone in 1997. I wouldn't wish that on my mother-in-law. I wish her a lot. But anyway, I didn't know what it was. I thought I was dying. And in New Guinea, there was no doctors and stuff. And I'm on the floor. My secretary thought I was having a heart attack, Megan. And she ran upstairs and got my wife. And my wife came down. What's wrong? I don't know. I think I'm dying. How many's ever had a kidney stone in here? You're a red-blooded American male, aren't you? You haven't lived till you've passed one. Ladies, they say it's like giving birth. You can have all those babies. Amen. So I'm laying here on the ground, and my wife leaned over me. She said, honey, what's wrong? I don't know. I think I'm dying. Well, okay. I love you. I know you do. That doesn't help. And she looked at me and she goes, I'm praying for you. Oh, you got to make it. I'm ready for you to die. I'm not either. You know, I don't know what this is. Okay, I got one question. What is it? Is the life insurance paid up? She didn't say that. She hinted to it. They picked me up, wrapped me in a blanket and threw me in the back of a pickup truck. Four men are holding me in the air. My son's driving to the first medical clinic. We get out, there's a little Filipino lady there. They bring me in, kick everybody out. But six or eight men are with me by this time. This is our pastor who we think he's dying. Take a look at him. The little Filipino doctor looked at me. Are you an American? Sure am. Get him out of here. I'm not touching an American. They will come and hunt me like and gut me like a fish if he dies. Get him out of here. Y'all don't realize this. We're not really loved around the world. So they took me to an Indian doctor about 5 miles away. We get there and he says, who are you? I'm Dan DeLong and I think I'm dying. What's wrong? I don't know. Is something going, is my heart or something's going right down the middle of my back like a knife? I mean, I don't know what it is. He said, roll over. He took this big needle. Okay, it was this long. Whatever it had in it. Ho, 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 ho. He put that in me, and I went somewhere. My eyes are turning yellow. This was not in the missions manual that this is going to happen to you in the center of God's will. Being in the center of God's will is the best place to be, but it's not always the safest. Anybody ever preaches that? They don't know what they're doing, okay? So I'm laying there. I'm in La La Land, and he says, do you drink liquor? No, sir, I'm a preacher. You're dehydrated. How much weight? I've lost about 40 pounds. I'm not trying to die. It's just the heat. Well. Whatever you're drinking is making it. 8 Diet Cokes a day. It wasn't the liquid. It was that coloring compound in there. Oh, you want to make a kidney stone? Just do that, okay? So I'm laying there, and eyes are turning yellow. And he said, here's a prescription. You get on the first flight in the morning out here, go to Brisbane, get that thing taken out. I'm telling you. You've seen T-shirts, you know, laughter's the best medicine until you've tried morphine. And I'm telling you. Now, I got that done. They took that stone out. I thought it was going to be big as my thumb. You couldn't even see it with a magnifying glass. It was so small. And I got back to New Guinea about 4 or 5 days later. And I'm kind of stiff. They took that thing out. And they give me the bill. $1,500. That wasn't the flight. That's just I wasn't in there. I ate a hamburger quicker than he was taking that thing out. That's a lot of money for doing nothing. I didn't have the money. We're broke. They can't get me. I'm in New Guinea, so I can't help. They can look for all the bill paying they want. There's no communication out here. Take them a year to find me. Remember the old days, the internet? How many remember that? Okay. So one night I'm trying to send an email. You know, we average 9 times to get one email out per day, just one. And I got an email. Call the office. We need you to call the office. What? So I went down to the embassy back in those days, and they give me, take this phone call. There must be an emergency. I thought somebody died. And so it was it was BIMI, and I called him, and it was Kathy. She's secretary. Hey, brother, D-Long. Yeah, that's how they say it down south. D-Long. Yeah, that's me. Listen, we moved offices. You know where I knew? Yeah, I know. You know. She said, well, we somebody gave you a check 6 months ago for $1,550. We're moving desk. We saw it under the desk. What do you want us to? It's from a girl that you went to high school with. Goes to your church where you was saved at. What do you want us to do with that check? Put it in the bank. The check was in November written. February the next year was when the kidney stone came up. God will take care of you financially because of people like you. Now you keep that in mind. You got to propimbo us where God wants us to get, and God will take care of all that. Let's go to the second way to support missionaries. Are you ready? Write this down. Prayerfully. Oh, we know that one. No. Prayerfully. Let me show you. Amen. It's one thing to write a check, but I never saw one check or a dollar bill ever win anybody to Christ out on the mission field. What wins people to Christ on the mission field are prayers from people here, praying for that missionary to preach and teach the gospel, giving the boldness, giving him a heart, keep the devil off his family so he can focus on leading them, discipling them, starting a church. The devil will chuck spears at missionaries in different ways than he does anywhere else, because you're in his playground going after his people, and he doesn't like it. They need your money, but more importantly and even deeper, they need your sincere prayers. Now watch this very carefully, and I want to show it to you. I want you to catch this with me. Go to this second thought here. The word is prayer. Popimbo them by prayer. Look with me, please, in Acts 21. You're already in Acts, I think. Acts 21. We'll take about 10 minutes here and we'll be done. Look what it says here. And I believe God uses the thought and application here. Popimbo them by prayer. Chapter 21, look at verse 1. And it came to pass after we had gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and they following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. Now get this, they're on a missions trip. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. They paid the fare. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. for the ship was unlaid of her burden. And finding disciples, watch this, finding a church, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, and who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Y'all know that story, don't you? Now look at the next verse. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us, popemboed us on our way with wives, with children, to we are out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. There's more to it than just writing a check at the end of the month. There's more to it than just putting it in the bank account. It says in verse 5, they kneeled down on the shore and they prayed. I want you to understand they needed to pray for Paul's protection. They needed to pray for Paul's power. They needed to pray so the blinded eyes of the lost could be opened up. And they needed to pray so God's influence would guide Paul to starting these other churches. And all this comes through prayer. And I want to tell you, prayer is the supreme importance when it comes to missions, even more than money. Because it costs you even more to do it. Two churches in my life, I have about 60 churches that support me. Two churches. One church, it's a little church of 50 people in Fairmont, West Virginia. They have a 3x5 card with my wife's name on it. And different families take that prayer card, and for 12 months, that family prays for me every day for 30 days, 31 days. On the last day of December, they put that thing in a package and mail it to you. And they just said, we want you to know that we prayed for you every day. Whoa. Another church, when I got married in, Adelphi Baptist Church, Google it. It's in Reynolds, Iowa. Church about this size, physically, people. They have a homeschool school there. They probably support 10, 15, 12, maybe 15, 20 missionaries. But they get missions. They love missions just like you do. From December 1st to December 31st, they send me to 31 days of Christmas for 3 to 5 families that day. Pray for me an hour each day for 31 days. And they send a letter of their family, a picture of their family and what we mean to them. Prayer. Amen. Prayer. Get it? Prayer. I was in New Guinea for about 35 days, 40 days. Church had grown from 7 to about 2 rows of people. Had a deacon and his son. They're at my house eating on a Friday night. We get done, and I just got over there. And as they're leaving, there's a robbery across the street, about from here to the other side of the church. A bunch of rascals, about 30 guys with guns, broke into the place, locked up the guards and put them in a container and shot the guard dogs. And about 20 of the guys were taking hard hats and boots and clothes, and they're emptying that factory out. And I got done with that meeting. The deacon said, preacher, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go tell them to stop. I walked out to the edge of that road, and I was younger and dumber in those days. Now, you boys put that stuff back. I'll call the police. I'll pray that God will judge you. Oh, pastor, you go bugger up real quick. And that means you're going to die real quick. What do you mean? And he stuck a gun through the fence. Now, my deacon's hiding behind a block wall with my wife and 2 boys and his son. He's got the phone in his hand. Preacher, what do you want us to do? We'll call the police because we know God's all over you. Calm down. You may know that, but I don't. Just calm down. That boy, I thought, his name was Pitcoy, P-I-T-C-O-Y. He's standing there with that gun down on me. It was like a single shot, a shotgun. And he's about the big as the guy in the sound booth. Everybody looks big to me in the dark, right? He says, Pastor, you call him, I'll shoot you. Come on, preacher. You've preached God. He will take care of us. God, he's in charge of him. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Are you kidding me? My wife said, honey, what do you want us to do? Call the police. And that boy's gun went click. He pulled it and it went click again. By that time, I am mad. I was younger. I'm going through the fence after him. He screamed like a girl at an eighth grade girl at a spook house. He never saw a guy chase him in the dark. He's running for his life. I'm going down through there. These 25, 30 other thieves are in shock. A little white guy's chasing us. This guy, whoa. I didn't catch him. Come around, come back. These boys are putting stuff back in the factory. I'm telling you, God will judge you. Put that back. I was a little wound up, okay? Hey, gentlemen, feels good to get wound up every once in a while, doesn't it? And when you know you're right, you're right. Very seldom does that happen, but I knew I was right. Now watch this. They captured him the next day, and they brought him to me. And in New Guinea, they do not have laws like they do here. On the back of the pickup trucks for the police, they call them bunny cages. It's like a rabbit cage, but for the truck. They'd thrown him in there, and they brought him to me. His leg was broken. What they do there is so they, because they can't catch him once they start running, they break their legs so they can't run. I go, man, what do you want to do with him, preacher? Honey, make some sandwiches for him. He wasn't bigger than this boy in a red thing. He looked huge with that gun. He was a little tiny street kid, no parents. Found it out later. Give me some coke. You policemen can leave. I took him down. My wife and a man took him to the medical clinic, got the legs set. I said, Pitskoy, you hire Nick below me now. Me savvy, I'll get that. You got to come to church for the next 10 weeks or I'll put you in jail for the next year. Do you understand me? You're going to sit in the front row. Do you understand me? And I want you to invite every boy that was trying to rob that place because I'm going to live here. I'm going to stay here. And buddy, I own you. Do you understand me? Yes, massa. Yeah, massa. Now, that's not a bad thing. They go, yes, white man or right man. He come to church the next Sunday. And, you know, I couldn't get rid of that kid. Got saved about the 10th Sunday in. He still goes to that church there. Amen. He's pushing 40-some. His health's not good. How did that happen? My mama called me the week later. Hey, Dan, last week, what happened? I was on my knees all night for you. Oh, shucks, Mom. God does some good things. I'll tell you when I see you. I didn't want her to worry. She said, by the way, your Aunt May, she's praying with me all night. You know that sister I got named Ditto? D-I-D-O. Her real name was Ildreth. I couldn't pronounce it. We just called her Ditto. Three of us stayed up all night long praying for you. Folks, your missionaries need prayer. Amen. I preach a whole message on how to pray for missionaries. They prayed for Paul. Now here's the last thought. This is where your preacher comes in. Emotionally, financially, prayerfully, and emotionally. Join me, please, on this third thought. Acts chapter 20, verse 33, 34. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities. I've made tents. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Watch verse 37. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. Here it is. Watch it. And they accompanied him and they propimboed him into the ship. Folks, emotionally attached is the deepest way to support a missionary. Prayerfully is almost that deep. And financially, it's not that deep. But I want you to understand, when you call that missionary, when you write that missionary, when you let them know that you're praying for them sincerely, there's an emotional connection. Y'all sent Brother Ross over to Australia. I don't know if he went to New Guinea and other places for his anniversary. How many years ago was that? I think it was 2010, 2011. And the week before he came with his wife, I found out I had prostate cancer. And at my age at that time, you'll die from it, not with it. If I was 70 at that time, I'd have died with it, not from it. Got to make a choice. He showed up over there with his wife, and I didn't say anything to him. And he filled the pulpit for me a little bit, and we talked. And I know that God walks with him, and he walks with God. And he said, "Brother, we love you. Don't know what you're going through, but we will pray for you." He's the only preacher to ever come to Australia in my 9 years to see what God was doing. And I have never forgot that. We're emotionally connected. You know, not forgetting the Super Bowl all those years ago was one thing. But having a pastor that does more than write a check and does more than talk about you in a business meeting that actually is emotionally connected. And I preach this, I can't preach this message at all the churches, just this one. And I want to thank you. My wife and I both want to thank you. Amen. For financially taking care of us. I don't know how many years I got left. But praying for us, we know you do. But that emotional connection. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I only have two Blessed Hopes. One's in Alabama and one's here. But there's only one Jerry Ross in my life. Amen. I want you to understand that. Terry Angel supports me. Larry Brown's boy Joseph supports me. About 3/4 of the men out there, they're pastors. They all support me. Because we're connected. They're not all missionaries, but we're connected. Isn't this a great thing? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who said, "Preacher, she's going to play a hymn of invitation. AJ, you can come on up." And as he comes, I want to do it this way. You say, "Brother DeLong, I need to financially be more involved in missions here. Secondly, preacher, God touched my heart to pray more in 2024. And I want to be like those group watching that ship go out of sight. Standing on that dock as Paul stands on that deck and looks back where they accompanied him unto to the ship. They were connected. Who can say God spoke to my heart tonight that I'm going to be part of this financially? God's touched my heart to pray for our missionaries, pray for our ministry. And God has touched my heart to connect. Hands are going up all over. Could you raise your hand? Pray for me. You know tonight, put your hands down. I know it wasn't a salvation message, but when she starts to play that hymn, when AJ starts to lead the song, if God touched your heart tonight, don't be afraid to step out and step forward and bring that decision here to that altar and say, "God, I'm going to make a difference, not only financially, not only prayerfully, not only emotionally, but I understand this is how God gets churches going around the world." And Father, we pray these things in your name.